All right, Jerusalem. Good evening. Let's begin. So we are picking up Emir Sashem on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph 24a. So we are picking up Emir Sashem. We left off with Amar Rav Hamnuna, which is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down from the top. So Amar Rav Hamnuna. Hamnuna said as follows. Amar Rav Hamnuna Rav Yosef. Zimna Chad Havaka Imna Chamed Rava. One time I was in front of Rava, Va'amar Li, and he said to me, I see Li Tfilin. Bring me my Tfilin. What happened? Vashkech sinu ben karlekezes, and I found that Rava's tefillin was between his pillow and his mattress, like we spoke about in yesterday's daf, between his tefillin and his mattress. V'havi yedana the yom tevila havan. Now, interestingly enough, this is actually fascinating. And Rav Yosef said, I knew that Rava's wife had gone to the mikvah the night before. Now we know again that on the night that a woman goes to the mikvah, there's a mitzvah for her husband to be intimate with her. So, which in other words is another way of saying that here Rav Hamnuna goes ahead and gets the tefillin, and he recognizes that number one, Rava had put it between his pillow and the mattress, and number two, that he had it in bed with him when he was with his wife, and Bepashas he was intimate with his wife. So the Gemara says, Ulag Muran Halacha L'Maisu Da'avad. So I say, so interestingly enough, so Rav Hamnuna understood that the reason why Rava sent him to fetch the tefillin was why? In order to teach him that the halacha followed Shmuel. Remember again, we saw in yesterday's daf that Shmuel was of the opinion that halacha l'maisa, one is permitted to go ahead and put their tefillin in between their pillow and the mattress. And not only that, but one is permitted to do so even if halacha l'maisa, one is with one's wife. So therefore, again, interestingly enough, so Rav Hamnuna, we'll say, you know, the interesting thing, you find this very often in the Gemara, that sometimes the best way for a Rebbe to teach his Talmud halacha is not to say it, but rather again to model it. Rava telling Rav Hamnuna to go get my tefillin, and Rava ultimately seeing again how Rav Hamnuna conducted himself indicated that the halacha was like Shmuel. Incredible. Yeah, probably, I would imagine, right. Mrs. Rava was not consulted. Yeah, that I would imagine. Correct. But as most times. So Gemara says as follows: Boi mine Rav Yosef Berei Drab Nehori Berei Drab Nechunya Me Rav Yehuda. So let's listen to this. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Nechunya, asked from the following question of Rav Yehuda: Shneim Sheishen B'mita Achos Mao Sheyachser Pana V'Yikar Kriyashos. What's the interesting case? Let's say two people are sleeping in bed together, and we're going to see Lav Dafka. It's a husband and wife. Two people. And I both say I have to understand something. The Gemara presupposes over here that people would sleep unclothed. So you have two people in bed together, unclothed. So what's the halacha? Could they turn back to back and recite Shema? After recite Shema, let's say again, the person forgot that they didn't recite, not his name, Kriyashma Alamita, but just Kriyashma Shal Arfel. Let's say David Meyer Verli forgot to repeat Kriyashma. So that a person's in bed. Can they turn away from one another, ultimately again, to recite Shema? Now what's at play over here? What seems to be at play over here that Rashi explains already again, but we'll see it inside the Gemara in just a bit, is that their backs may touch. Even though they're turning away from one another, their backs may touch. There may be skin that's touching. So ultimately, again, would that prevent the recitation of Shema or not? Amarle, Hachi Amar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said. Vafilu Ishto Imo. Shmuel said, Abosei, so now going back for just a second, remember Shmuel said in the previous sugya, it's a little bit different than this sugya, but Shmuel said in the previous sugya that halacha l'maisa, a man could keep tefillin between his pillow and the mattress, even though his wife is with him in the same bed. So Abosei, so Bepashtos, we're saying that therefore, again, if it's a case of husband and wife, they should be able to turn back to back from each other and be able to say Shema. So the Gemara says, Are you trying to say that he could do this with his wife and certainly someone else? The Gemara says, Adraba, just the opposite. Maybe this halacha dafka applies to one's wife and not to someone else. Ishto kigufo. Right, one's wife, right, you have this constant halacha all the time, ishto kigufo, that literally, again, your wife is like yourself. So Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi says, ishto kigufo beragilba, he's accustomed to her, and therefore, veleka, hear her kulehai. And therefore, again, because the husband is used to his wife, does not necessarily hear her, there's not necessarily any kind of illicit thoughts that would come up. And therefore, again, if they are facing away from each other, even if there is physical contact, perhaps Shema should be permitted. On the other hand, Acher Lav Kagufo. I will say, but someone else is not considered to be an extension of yours, not like your guf, and therefore perhaps halacha l'maisa, you shouldn't be able to go ahead and recite Shema even if laying back to back. So let's analyze. Let's say first white line, chaf dalid amad aleph. So meisvei, so the gemara is a kasha, shnayim mishen b'mita, two people are sleeping together in a bed. So b'mita achos, zemach shepan v'korei, v'zemach shepan v'korei. So we'll say, see, each one turns away from the other. Right? Essentially, they're sleeping back to back. Each one turns away from the other, and they're both able to recite Kriyat Shema. So we'll say that's one brisa. That's one brisa. But Tanya Achrisa, and ultimately a second brisa says, Hayashin b'mita ubanav ubnei beiso b'tzido. If one is sleeping in a bed, and we'll say, let's say again, has other family members, banav, his children, b'nei beiso. It's interesting. B'nei beiso means like household members in the bed as well, right? Hare ze lo yikra Kriyat Shema. This is interesting. So the second braisa says, you cannot say Shema, unless, of course, again, there's a talis, there's a cover, there's a sheet, there's something interposing between one body and the next. But if we're talking about that a person is in bed with his small children, then ultimately, again, mutter. Then I'm also going to be mutter because there's the assumption that there's no hair hurt, there's no illicit thoughts that could come up. So let's analyze. So Bishlam and Rav Yosef Lokasha. So according to Rav Yosef, these two brises don't contradict each other. Why not? Ha bi ishto, ha ba'acher. Again, according to Rav Yosef, one brise is talking about one's wife. This mentor, so technically speaking, one could go ahead and recite Kriyat Shema. One brise is talking about one's wife, and the other brise is talking about someone else. El Shmuel Kasha, but according to Shmuel, ultimately again it's going to pose a contradiction. Amr Lecha Shmuel, the Rav Yosef Minecha, according to Rav Yosef, doesn't make sense. Vatanya we learned, Haya Yashin Imo Bemito, the person sleeping in bed, Ubanov Ubne Beiso Bemito, and he has other family members in the bed with him, Lo Yikra Kriyashma, a person should not say Shema, El Imkin Haisa Talisa Mavsekes Benehem, unless of course there's a cover, there's a sheet, there's something interposing between one person and another. Elamai is the chalameimar. So what is there to say? The Gemara says, Ishtal Rav Yosef Tanoihi Ledidi Nami Tanai. So what you have to say is that halacha lemaisa, the case of one's wife is going to be a machlokes tanoim. So we'll say, where the Gemara kind of leaves off over here at this juncture is the following, that halacha lemaisa, and again, I just want to point out, this is dafka only in a case where there's physical contact. Right, so for example, husband and wife are in bed together. The husband realizes that he didn't say Shema. So they turn in opposite directions, facing in opposite directions. So the case the Gemara is contemplating over here is, but yet say their backs may still be touching, or back parts of their body may still be touching. So can a man say Shema in such a situation like that? So that seems to be a machlokes tanoim. That's a machlokes tanoim. With everyone else, ultimately, again, the halacha would be no. Unless, of course, there's some type of cover that interposes between the person saying Shema and the person next to him in bed. The exception to that rule would be minor children, young children. We'll discuss how young in just a little bit. But apparently with young children in the same bed as the father, he could recite Shema. Okay, so let's analyze a bit more. Amar Mar. Ze machsir pana v'kore kriya Shema. So we'll say, remember again, we saw before that an opinion that said before that Allah has a husband and wife are in bed together. Husband realized that he didn't say Shema. They could turn back to back and ultimately he could recite Shema. I the Gemara says, Vaha'ika agavos, but they're still their backsides may be touching. So if their backsides are touching again, and we're assuming over here that people are unclothed, so doesn't that pose a problem? In other words, isn't that like an erva problem, a nakedness problem that should prevent the man from saying Shema? So it was interesting. He says, Misayele the Rafuna, Dam Rafuna, Agvos, Aragavos, Ein Bahem Mishum Erva. So Rafuna holds that a backside doesn't have the din of erva. Right? Erva means nakedness. So the Agavos, the backside doesn't have a din, ultimately, again, of nakedness. Interesting. Samara brings a proof to this. Misayele the Rafuna. So let's bring a proof to Rafun. What does Rafun say? Listen to this. Ha'isha yosheves v'kotzala chalosa aruma. So we'll say this is an interesting case. A woman could sit and separate out challah even if she's unclothed. Even if she's unclothed. Now we'll say, now when it's about separating challah, remember again, separate challah, you have to make a bracha. There's a bracha that's made. So the Gemara seems to be saying that even if she's unclothed, but she's sitting on the ground, halacha lemaisa, she can go ahead and make the bracha on hafrashas chala. Why? Because just anatomically or biologically, when a woman is sitting, the makom erva is covered. Right, it's covered essentially. Again, it's not exposed, and therefore halacha lemaisa, she's considered to be covered enough, so to speak, to be able to go ahead and make the bracha. Aval lo ha'ish. But if a man was sitting unclothed on the ground, he would not be permitted to make the bracha on hafrashas chala. Why? Because when a man is sitting, his erva, his nakedness, is exposed, and therefore halacha lemaisa, he can't make the bracha. So I asks the Gemara. So what's the unasked question? I understand that ultimately, again, the makom erva, right, is covered. It's covered. That's fine because she's sitting and it's covered by the ground. But what about her backside? The backside could be exposed ultimately, again, if she's sitting. But interestingly enough, what do you see? You see from here that apparently the backside of a person is not considered to be erva, to which the Gemara says not necessarily. So we'll say it's possible that we're talking about a case over here where halacha lemaisa, again, she's sitting, let's say, in soft earth, and therefore kind of sinks into the earth a little bit. So because she sinks into the earth, therefore halacha lemaisa, everything is covered. Right? The makom erva is covered, and her backside is covered as well. Okay, so let's go by. Im hayu banav ubnei beiso kitanim, mutter. So let's remember again, what do we see in the Mishnah? What do we see in the Braisa before? We saw in the Braisa before that halacha lemaisa, if a man is in bed with his children, right? His young kids come into bed with him, and they're kitanim, they're minors, they're young, then ultimately, again, even if everyone is unclothed, father is allowed to say kriyashma. Ad kama. So we'll say, how young is young? How young is young? For a girl, it's up until the age of 3 years old in one day, and for a boy, up until the age of 9 years old in one day. All right, Igad Amri, an alternate version of this, Tinokes Basud Aleph Shanav Yom Echad, the Tinok Ben Shteimese Shanav Yom Echad. I'll say an alternate version of it has up until Bar Bas Mitzvah. Right, for a girl, literally again, 11 years old in one day, i.e. into her 12th year, and for a boy, into his 13th year. And the Gemara says, the truth is, they're not really arguing. We'll say, really what we're focusing on over here is physical development. Right? The truth is, so at the age when physical development begins, that's when there's going to be a problem, ultimately, of recitation of Shema. But assuming that the child is young, i.e. physically undeveloped, even if the child is unclothed in the same bed as the father, halacha lemaisa, the father could go ahead and recite Shema. So we'll say, so again, I know these cases sound a little bit strange to us, but that's just because societally, culturally, just things are fundamentally different. But lemaisa, the ikra halacha is still a fascinating one. So let's go by it. I'm there of Kahana Ravashi. Hasam Amarava, afagav de tiyuv de Shmuel, Shmuel, hilchosak havase de Shmuel. So we'll say, if you remember again, in yesterday's daf, or in yesterday's omid, so remember again, we saw the position of Shmuel. What does Shmuel hold? Shmuel holds that a man is permitted to put his tefillin underneath his pillow, between his pillow and his mattress, and he's allowed to do that even if his wife is with him in bed. Even his wife is with him in bed. So the Gemara, if you remember again, the Gemara said, we refuted the position of Shmuel, and then Rava came along and said, even though we refuted the position of Shmuel, the halacha still follows Shmuel. Halacha still follows Shmuel. Isa asks the Gemara, Hacha mai. What about over here? Supposed to say now, what do you mean over here? Over here, if you remember again in the Kriyas Shema case, what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that halacha lemaisa, if a man is in bed with his wife, if they both turn back to back, he's allowed to say Shema. Even if again there's some level of physical contact between them. So what's that? Do we paskin like Shmuel over here as well? So the Gemara says, Hacha mai, Amrale. Did we teach all of these rulings at once? No. Itmar. So we're saying, no. In other words, just because in one case we pass him like Shmuel, right? Even though we refute Shmuel, we pass him like him. doesn't mean that in every case when we refute Shmuel, we paskin like him, right? Perhaps he paskin like Shmuel by the case of Tefillin, but it wouldn't necessarily mean that he paskin like Shmuel ultimately again in the case of Kriyat Shema. Okay, so we'll say that's still an open-ended issue. Margot transitions to a different discussion. Amar Lei, Rav Mari Rav Papa. So Rav Mari will say, it seems to be, by the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, is that Halacha L'maisa, aside from minor children, very young children, if a person is unclothed in bed with someone else, they really would need a barrier between them and the other person. It's like a cover in order to go ahead and be able to recite Shema. The exceptions to that rule may be very young children. Very young children, where again, there's no issue of hear her, and no issue of any type of illicit or inappropriate thoughts. Okay? Amalir Rav Mardar Papa. Another interesting case. Seyar Yotze Bebigdom Mahu. Well, this is an interesting case. What happens if a person has pubic hair that is coming out of their clothing? So what's the halacha? In other words, we'll say, now what is this? What's the question over here? So if we take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Seyar Yotze Bebigdom. It's almost right across. It's almost, actually, it is right across in Rashi. It's right to the right. Shenikev Bigdo Kineged, Zakin Atachton, V'yotze Min HaSeyar B'Nakav, Mau, Mihave Erva Likros Kriyasha Kineged Olo. So we'll say, it's an interesting Shaila. Does pubic hair have the din of Erva? So we know you're not allowed to recite Shema in the presence of Erva. And we're going to see a number of different cases like that. So you can't recite Shema in front of a woman with uncovered hair. And you can't recite Shema, you know, in front of someone who's not fully clothed. And you can't recite Shema in front of Erva. So what about halacha lemaaseh in the presence of pubic hair? Right? Are you allowed to go ahead and recite? In other words, does pubic hair have the din of Erva or not? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Good. Mau. So Gemara says. So Mau kara ale sear sear. He said about him, hair is hair. In other words, they both say, hair is hair. In other words, pubic hair does not have any other distinction. It's not any different than regular hair. And therefore, the same way that ultimately, again, regular hair, halacha lemaisa is not considered to be erva. So to halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, pubic hair is not considered to be erva as well. So the Gemara goes right. Amar Yitzchak, tefach b'isha erva. So what's another interesting case? We know that a tefach, right, of a woman's body that is uncovered, meaning a tefach that is normally covered, but that is uncovered, is considered to be an erva. And I will say, so this concept, by the way, is quoted in a number of different places. For example, it could apply to a woman's hair. Right, so a woman's hair that's uncovered, a tefach of uncovered hair is erva. A part of the body that is normally covered, that's uncovered, becomes erva. Tefach b'isha erva. So the Gemara says, lemai. What does that mean? When you tell me that a tefach of a woman's body that's normally covered, that is now uncovered, is erva, what are you trying to convey to me? So this is actually very interesting. If you're talking about that you're not allowed to look at her like that, in other words, you're not allowed to look at that uncovered area, the Gemara says, v'hamon Rav Sheshes, but one second, but Rav Sheshes said, lama mana hakasov tachshitin shebechotim tachshitin shebefnim. So we'll say, in the war against Midian, the Jewish army brought home many spoils. And amongst the spoils, they brought home like women's jewelry. Some of this was jewelry that was worn on intimate parts of the body, and some of it was worn externally. Yet the Torah groups them all together. Why does it group them all together? To teach us the following situation. Lo mar l'cha, kol mistakel be'espa ketana shel isha, kilu mistakel b'makom ha-toref. By equating the jewelry that was used on the intimate parts of the body with the jewelry that was worn on the exposed parts of the body, tells you that they're the same. Meaning what? That if a man lustfully looks at a woman, at any part of her body, by definition, that is no different than if he looks at her nakedness. The idea of Shmira Seinayim. Shabbos says, so therefore, when we say Tefach B'isha Erva, it can't mean that you're not allowed to look at an exposed part of a woman's body, because you're not allowed to look at, this is talking about someone who's not your wife, you're not allowed to look at any part of a woman's body for the purpose, for the purpose of deriving pleasure. Right, that's usher. So what does it mean? Tavach biisha erva. To which the Gemara says, Ella biishta ula kriyashma. Rather, it's actually quite interesting. Rather, the ramification of this statement is talking about for one's own wife, even by shema. So, Rabbi says, this is actually an incredible halacha. That the halacha is that even with one's own wife, if her hair is uncovered, or she's not dressed in a tsanua fashion, and there's a part of the body that's uncovered that would normally be covered in accordance with the dictates of tsnius, her husband cannot say Kriyat Shema in her presence. And I want to point out, this is in your own home. This is in your own home. But the idea of tefach bi'isha erva says, again, any part of the body that would normally be covered, you know, again, outside of the house, in conformance with normative tznius standards, cannot be uncovered in the presence of the husband when he is reciting Shema. So say, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of contemporary posts in the Aruch HaShulchan has a famous discussion, because, like, you know, what do we do with this today? What do we do with, say, with Kriya Shema and different forms of lack of tznia? So there's a lot of discussion around it. But again, but halacha lemaisa, it is important to know that even in one's home, if one is davening at home or reciting Shema at home, that again, one would not be able to do so in front of his wife. The person's wife is permitted to walk around the house however she wants to walk around the house. But lemaisa, husband can't say Kriya Shema in the presence of his wife if she is not clothed in a tzenua fashion. All right, Dibosai, shkoyach. Good week this week. Everyone is invited to join us for Chassidus Shkoyach.